as we have some great music and as the Word of God goes forth. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless our time tonight and the rest of this weekend. Lord, we're excited to be with each other. And Lord, we're especially excited to be with you. Lord, bless this time. Speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now you have to sit down again. All right. I'm reading tonight, just for a few minutes, from John chapter 6. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there also. If you don't, just listen to me, because I'm going to read it anyway. John chapter 6, and starting with verse 53, here's what it says. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Now you think that's good. It's about to get better. You ready? Verse 57 says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Say, I'm excited to live forever. How many of you are excited to live forever? You don't look very excited yet. He said, when you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. And then he goes on. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples were grumbling about this, and Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. And then Jesus said, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was talking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though he was one of the 12, was later to betray him. My favorite thing is preaching the Word of God. I've been a pastor for 25 years. That's surprising since I don't look like I'm over 21 years old. But 25 years I've been a pastor. In 25 years I've been a rock and roll pastor. And I've seen a lot of bands come and go. I've seen a lot of movements actually come and go. But for 25 years, I've had the opportunity to preach the Word of God and to bring it to thousands and thousands of people. It's the joy of my life. And yet, folks, when I see this scripture, I realize that we have a problem. And I'm going to address the problem tonight and spend the weekend giving you some of the answers. Does that sound okay? But the problem is this, that people drop out. Some of you who are sitting here tonight, who call yourselves Christians, who are involved sometimes with Christian music, will not be in any kind of a church in 5 or 10 years. You will have decided along the road that you don't think Christianity is very cool, and you'll be pursuing something else. And the dropout rate, in other words, the people that say they're Christians 1 minute and then obviously weren't and are dropping out and doing something else, the numbers are large. In the United States, I don't know how it is here, but in the United States, half of all the people that join a church drop out and never go to a church again. For a lot of good reasons. Can I tell you tonight that I'm very excited about Jesus Christ? I'm very excited that I'm a Christian, and I'm very excited that I'm not religious. And I'm very excited that Jesus isn't either, and that he hates religion as much as I do. And I think a lot of people find religion and they don't find Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something that might surprise you? You don't have to go to a church to find God, although it's a good idea to be in a church to find fellowship with other believers. God tells us to do that. But just because you're in a church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you're standing in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. It doesn't make you one, does it? The thing that makes you a Christian is a personal belief in Jesus Christ. But people fall away from a lot of things these days. We fall away from family, from friends, from our job, from school. A lot of different things that we're doing today, and 5 or 10 years from now, we won't be doing at all. And Jesus experienced this in his ministry as well. In fact, there's one verse that I just read to you that I want to point out once again. It's John 6, verse 66. It's the 666 verse. It is. And here's what it says. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. That's verse 666. You say, how could that happen? Following Jesus, or at least looking like they're following Jesus, and then all of a sudden, they're doing something else. I always used to feel bad when people would come to my church and get excited about the Lord, and then all of a sudden, they would drop out and, you know, not doing it anymore. And I always felt like it was my problem, not theirs. Until I realized that people did that in Jesus' ministry too. Here were people that walked with Jesus Christ, who also dropped out from time to time as well. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The word disciple here, going back to the original Greek language that it was written in, when we look at the word disciple, it has one of two meanings. The first meaning is a true follower of Jesus Christ. The second one, though, is a person who has an interest in the ministry of Jesus. That's the word that's used here. People that had an interest in it, but didn't follow through. I've been involved with Christian music for a long time. When we first started pioneering Christian rock and roll a lot of years ago, we couldn't get anybody to sign any of the bands. We had to start our own record company, Intense Records, to get any of the bands going and to begin to start a whole new kind of ministry. Rock and roll, heavy metal, thrash metal, grindcore, speed metal. We're doing gothic music now. We've been involved in a lot of different kinds of reggae. Can you believe that? We've been involved in a lot of different styles of music, and that's been really exciting, and it's been great. But along with that, I see a lot of people that get involved with music, that love the styles of music. We'll get to listening to a lot of our bands, and we'll look like they've kind of fallen in love with Jesus and maybe fallen in love with the church, but they've only fallen in love with the musical style. Or they fall in love with the kinds of people that they see. But folks, there's only one kind of person that will be in a church or in the body of Christ 5 or 10 years from now. And those are the true followers of Jesus Christ. Not just the ones that kind of come and visit and are kind of tasting to see if it's good. Not the ones that just have an interest in the ministry, but the ones that truly fall in love with Jesus Christ. Now, Again, I'm not going to take a real long time tonight. But I do want to talk about who some of those people are and why it is that they get that far. You see, a lot of these people in verse 666 wanted to change Jesus. They wanted to have him their way. I was riding in an airplane about a year ago, and I sat down, and the man that sat next to me, he said, you know, I just had two Mormon missionaries sitting beside me. And he said, I just spent 2 hours talking to them. And he said, man, I'm really glad that's over with. He said, what do you do for a living? I was afraid to tell him. He says, you're in the music industry? People always ask me that. In the music industry? And I said, well, kind of. I said, I'm a pastor. Now, that's not an easy thing to tell most people. Usually when I say a pastor, they look like a little confused. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you're a what? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you're a pastor? I said, I'm a pastor. Really? And after listening to two Mormon missionaries for 2 hours, I don't think he was real excited to hear that. But he got right to the point, and he says, you know, I'm not a Christian. He said, there's one thing that bothers me. So what's that? He says, this whole idea of sex. He said, what do you think about sex? And I said, well, I'm not married. I try not to think about it as much as possible. He said, really, what do you think about it? I said, tell me what you mean by that. He said, well, do you think it's okay to have sex anytime you want to? And I said, no, I don't think that's okay. I said, I think that's what marriage is for. He says, you see, that's exactly why I'm not a Christian. Because you guys believe that. He said, you know, I'd probably be a Christian if it was okay to have sex anytime I wanted to. He goes, if you guys ever change the rules, let me know. Ever met anybody like that? We all have different reasons why we're not so sure we like Christianity. Because of things that we believe. And he said, if you ever change the rules about sex, he says, let me know. And I'll think about becoming a Christian. And folks, it may not be that particular area, but we all have things. If God would just do things a little differently, we might become Christians. In other words, if Jesus would just do things the way I want him to, then I might think about it. But folks, Jesus didn't come for us to change him. He came to change us. And whenever we say, I want the kind of religion that, and we explain something different, we're trying to change him. One of the greatest things, folks, that I can tell you, and I've been a Christian for 41 years now, and one of the greatest things that I can tell you about my personal Christian life is that Jesus Christ has changed me. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm still radical. I'm still very radical. I still like a lot of things that a lot of Christians tell me I'm not supposed to like. I still listen to a lot of that music with the demonic beat, you know, that they keep talking about. And I still do things that a lot of Christians don't do, and I still have long hair, and I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, Christians shouldn't have long hair. And I've yet to find that in the Bible where we're not supposed to. But, you know, I've heard all those things. And I'm still that person. And there's still a little bit of rebel inside of me. I'm still kind of rebellious in some of those good ways. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ has absolutely changed me inside. And I'm not the person I used to be. And you know how he did it? Not by me telling him what I wanted him to be, but by him telling me what he wanted me to be. And so I want to explore that this weekend. What does Jesus say that he wants me to do to change? And what are those things that change me from the inside out? I want to leave you with this. Jesus said in John chapter 7, in verse 37, he was speaking at a feast, and he said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come on to me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And the next, or last verse there, verse 39, is in parentheses, and it says, "This he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given, because Jesus Christ had not yet been glorified." Here's the exciting part. Acts chapter 2, he is glorified. The Holy Spirit is given for the first time in history. The Holy Spirit is given and indwells the believers there all the time, sealed until the day of redemption. I'll quit using all those big words now. But what it means is the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And get this, folks, this is the greatest part. And he said, "I will now begin to work from the inside out." Jesus says, "My generation seeks after signs and wonders." They want to see all these things happening. He said, "But future generations, because of the Holy Spirit, are going to be seeing those signs and wonders, those miracles happening in the inside. And the biggest miracle will happen in their hearts." He said rivers of living water would flow from the inside out, and God would begin to work this way. Now, I want to close with this thought. Listen. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And folks, he said something that is very profound to you and I. He said, "It is finished." He hung on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." Folks, it is still finished. 2,000 years ago when he said it's finished, it's because of what he did on the cross. He said, "No longer will evil triumph. No longer did we have to be separated from God." He says, "It is finished. What I'm about to do will prepare the way for us to live with God." And then he died. But not for long. The moment that Jesus died in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, and that was the part of the temple way in back that you didn't want to go into unless you were the high priest and you had gone through all of the different ceremonies to make yourself clean. They used to tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest just in case he wasn't clean enough when he went in there, because he'd be dead. They'd have to pull him back out. Because the power of God was so huge in the Holy of Holies that only one man could go in there, and only after he'd gone through all the ceremonies to make himself clean. And after Jesus said, "It is finished," that veil, that curtain that separated the tabernacle from the Holy of Holies, ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying that God ripped it. And here's what he says. He says, "Now the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy of Holies, lives inside of you." And Jesus said, "That's the river. Rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being out." And no longer do we have to go behind a curtain to find God. No longer do we have to look for signs and wonders to find God. He says, "I want to live inside of you, and I want that kind of power that people used to die from just being in the presence of. I want that kind of power to be inside of you." That's good news, isn't it? So what happens then? As Christians, many times we feel defeated. We don't know how to use that power. We don't know what to do. And again, many people look at Christianity and then fall away. Folks, it's my prayer today that you will be following Jesus 5 and 10 years from now, that you won't be one of those that fall away. that you won't be one who just came because the music is good. And the music is good. But you'll be one of those who is established in the kingdom of God because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, there are some great bands that are about to play tonight and tomorrow. Some great bands who are talking about this message. If you listen to the lyrics, the words of the songs, if you listen to what they have to say, you'll hear them talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ that will absolutely affect the rest of your eternity. And I want you to listen. As you enjoy the music, would you also listen to what the words are saying? Because the words really are life and death. Let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to the bands. We're going to listen to some music. We're going to crank it up a little more. Turn the volume up. You ready for that? I like to listen to it just about as loud as it goes. That's why I can't hear very good these days. It's been too many years of loud music. But we're going to listen to some good music. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Would you stand with me one more time, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, you came and you died for us. Lord, we realize that your death on the cross was able to purchase our lives. Lord, we are unworthy because we're sinners, but you died for our sins. And Lord, you told us that if we accept you as our personal Lord and Savior, as we invite you to come into our lives, Lord, that you would save us and that no longer would we have to die, that we would be alive in Christ for eternity. Lord, I thank you that that's the message here this weekend. That as we listen to the bands and as we begin to talk about this again tomorrow again, Lord, I thank you that that word is living, that it's vital. Lord, when you said it's finished, it still is. Everything that you did to purchase our lives, you finished on the cross. All that we have to do is accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I want to especially pray for those this weekend who are not Christians. Lord, I pray that this message would touch their hearts and they wouldn't leave here without accepting you as a personal Lord and Savior. Lord, for those this weekend that have just gotten involved with religion and have not become Christians, I pray, Lord, that this message would speak to them. Lord, for those that are Christians here this weekend, I pray that their faith would be strengthened as a result of what we do here this week. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know what to do. Where's Daniel? Daniel, you're going to take it from here? Okay. Well, we're all relying on you. We have our first band is ready to play?
Yeah, pretty soon, right? Yeah, mingle for a while and... I'll let you know when the concert starts.